As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
It is another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldrich here in cold ass DC. In the Bay, Marcus Thompson. And our guest, our boy BT, Brad Turner from the LA Times. What is up, man?
The flyest in the room, BT, baby.
hey, D.A., you said cold-ass D.C.?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm in Southern California, and for us, if it's 60, it's cold.
I know, y'all. So, yeah, I know.
Hey, yo, no, it's freezing out here in the Bay. Like it's ice cold.
Thank you, Mark.
I mean, it's like 55, but...
Man, right, that's cold for us.
But y'all get that Bay wind. So, but BT, y'all get that that warm ass Santa Ana wind. I don't even want to hear about no cold in LA.
Hey, let me tell you something. We ain't got it recently. I promise you.
They don't understand. BT, man, when you in Cali, your whole your body climate is different. It feels like Orchard Park sometimes. Like, we out here struggling.
Y'all get
sometimes.
So spoiled by the weather up there. I swear to God. It's crazy. Man,
that's why we pay all that money to live here.
Right. Facts. Right. My boy used to work for the Pac-10 network. Mm. He could the cheapest thing he could find literally was 80 miles from San Fran. That was the only, and he was making decent bank. You know what I'm saying? And all he could find was I don't even know where it was, like someplace I'd never heard of. 80 miles from San Fran, man, and he worked downtown, so that was the commute every day.
Look, we all can't be like Marcus living next door to Steph Curry.
You can't make that kind of bank. We don't all make that kind of bank.
You know what I mean? We can't do that, Marcus.
I got you.
I'm blessed.
All right, man. So we're blessed, too, because we got BT to talk about all things L.A. basketball. He does the Clippers and the Lakers better than anybody. Man, we were talking
In the history.
Look, I know why the Lakers aren't any good. We all know. LeBron said it like day two. We ain't got no shooters. We can't shoot. That's right. pretty obvious, right? But I can't figure the Clippers out. Like, I know Kawhi's just getting back, but it's something not right about that squad. I don't know what it is. I don't know. And you would know better than I do. I think John has been a good soldier. You know, I come off the bench. I ain't trying to make no waves. Let me just play my 18, 20 minutes and get out of here. But you tell me, man, because something's not right with that squad. I don't know what it is.
Man. No, I'll start with the injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a game where there was no Kawhi, no Paul George, no Reggie Jackson, I mean, no Luke Kennard, no Norm Powell.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you can't win.
Right,
when
right,
guys
right.
can't play. And then the game, I covered one of the Clipper games on Saturday against the Wizards, your local team.
You're
difficult to watch the Wizards play, but Kawhi played. And we saw a Kawhi moment. Fourth quarter, Clippers are up by, I think, two or three.
Yeah.
He scored 8 straight points. Game over.
Got right to his
Nothing
spot.
Nothing they could do with it.
Just right got right to his spot. Bang, 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 bang. Yep.
But during that game, Paul George didn't play. Luke Kennard did play, and he was really good, spacing the floor with his three-point shots. But until they get whole, we don't know who they're going to be. They want to hold on to this, Marcus. Their idea is like last year, you had your Golden State Warriors. Steph was out for a while, injured. He came back late in the season, and they ended up winning the championship. They want to hold on to the Boston Celtics. Started slow, and they found themselves in the finals. That all sounds good, and that worked. But at some point, you have to have your entire team out there playing games. And I think they're getting close to that threshold where if they can't get everyone healthy to play, just to say 40-some games together, then trying to think about winning a title would be difficult for them to do. But they have the talent, and they're deep, DA. Damn, they're deep. But yeah, they can never get all those guys to play together.
It feels like the problem with them is because of that. Like, even the guys who normally would play well, they feel like they're kind of off, right? Ooh. Like, nobody's in a rhythm. And that's like when we saw the Clippers playing well in the playoffs, it's because they had like 7-8 guys who were just so in sync with each other because they've been playing without superstars, right? They just knew what's up. And now you got Coffee trying to find his way. You know, you got Man, right? You got Norman Powell in and out. But even with that, it does feel like, you know, if you get everybody healthy, these guys will have some, like, experience. We've seen it. The question is, will they get their big guns back? To me, that's the difference. Like, you get Kawhi back. Now you get Paul George back and healthy at the right time. You can make a run. But that's, to me, that's the bigger question is, like, will it ever actually happen?
And that's the question that Ty Lue is wrestling with all the time. Is trying to put together a team that's more consistent. I mean, injuries, as he always says, every coach says, it's part of the game. But I know it drives him crazy because he has said 1,000 times the offense was geared around Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah.
So when they're not playing, you're now trying to shift a few things. Let it be a free-flowing offense around all the guys. And then Paul shows back up. He's playing great. So now things change a little bit more. And then Kawhi comes back, and Paul George and Kawhi both out there playing. Things shift back to what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have PG's out again. I mean, how are they making this work? How is it going to go going forward? I want to see, because I'm a Ty Lue fan. I mean, that's my dude. I think he's one of the top five best coaches in the NBA. His in-game management is incredible. His practices are great. Him not being afraid to tell Kawhi, nah, dude, you ain't really getting it done when he's playing. It's amazing. I just go back to what he did with LeBron James.
Yeah.
He gave LeBron that business.
Yes, he did.
And they won a title.
Yeah. And he got these dudes 18 and 14, right? They still.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, they're still there.
BT, I think their best lineup is with Batum at the five. I think the small ball is by far their best lineup. What you think? I mean, you see them more than I do, but when I've seen them go small, they look good because Kennard becomes a playmaker there, not just a spot-up shooter, and that's when they really get dangerous to me.
Well, Dave, and you guys know, because I love Paris so much, Nick is my favorite Clipper.
There you go.
I mean, let's just be real. I ain't gonna lie. He and I are both.
They mourn
right
together
now
over the World Cup. Huh?
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, I bet you were sad Sunday, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Let me tell you something, man. I don't know nothing about soccer, man, but that was amazing. That match was incredible. Man.
Yes.
And I was happy for Messi, but that Mbappe, God.
Man.
Yeah,
that dude's a monster.
That dude is a monster.
You know, and a quick aside, someone put a video up of Mbappe with Kobe when they were playing together, just kind of messing around back in France years ago.
Yeah.
And they were like, man, Kobe had a little skills there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, when it comes to soccer, Mbappe is like that guy.
That dude, man.
Messi, obviously.
Yeah.
But to your point, though, DA, I think you're right. Because with Nick, he's a good defender. He's smart. moves the ball, can shoot the three, can defend on the wing, can defend enough of the big guys down low. And in the NBA, how many big centers are there?
Right.
Like Jokic, Embiid.
There's like four.
For the Clippers.
Yeah, there's like right. four, maybe. You know, AD you when know, he's healthy, you know, but.
When it, right. And the flip side becomes those centers have to step out and defend him on the wing.
Yeah.
And he's great at making those corner threes. He's great at making the right passes. I mean, I covered one of the Clipper games where they were down playing Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, and Nick Batum, or Nicholas Batum, I think he made all seven of his three-point shots.
Yeah.
I mean, watch it. I mean, catch and shoot, bam, bam, bam. Got to the point where the Clippers came back from a double-digit deficit, had a chance to win the game because of his great shooting and because Paul George knew he would get double-teamed by the Mavericks, and he kept finding Nick.
Yeah.
And Talu kept running the same play over and over again just to get Nick prepared for that, get him ready to be able to make those shots. So he is being that small ball five, I think has worked for them. It's something that's kind of become a weapon for the Clippers.
Yeah, because when they were here in D.C., that was he won the game because Porzingis was the five, and he was late getting out to him. You know, like he for some reason he was still hugged up to John, and I'm like, why are you? John can't shoot. Why are you hugged up on John? like, you know, but it's hard. You know, it's them fives don't like coming out there, to your point,
no.
right?
No, they don't want to be out there because they lived in the paint since they were 5 years old.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you say, hey, this is a three-point shooting team. Go out to the perimeter. And if the thought is, no, I'm protecting the paint. But there's no one in the paint to protect the ball from, young fella. You know, so I get it. I want to imagine. I would have loved to see what Shaq would have done.
That would have been funny.
I would love to see funny. Shaq covering Steph Curry on the
right off that split action. That would be funny.
Oh, I mean, that would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
Hilarious. What's going on with the shooting? I feel like the Clippers last year were one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. That was like a big weapon. It feels like they don't make shots like they used to, but it's the same guys shooting it. What you think it's just that rhythm thing you were talking about?
You know, I think it is. I think it has to be because, as you said, they were one of the top three-point shooting teams last year. This season, not so much.
Yeah.
You know, and they rely on Paul and on Kawhi so much. I mean, the one guy who seems to be struggling with his shot the most and has been inconsistent is Reggie Jackson. In his case, when you start to wonder, was he looking over his shoulder because John Wall is here? Or is he just trying to do too much when Paul and Kawhi are out? I mean, I'm not quite sure what's going on with him. He's had some really good games, but he's had some games where he just missed a lot of shots that we've seen him make all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and like anyone, your confidence gets a little shaky. And there are times it appears as if Reggie's confidence was shaking some.
It's funny because I have gotten no sense. And John was, I mean, pretty, you know, he was like, I don't want to start. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was wondering, like, of course, because of their history, I understand it's not going to be fluid and smooth, but I thought it would be workable. You know what I'm saying? Like, they make it work. And it would surprise me if Reggie was looking over his shoulder like that because everybody understand he's the man out there now. You know, he got the contract, well-deserved contract, too.
It sounds good, though, but that is John Wall.
Yeah, no, true. Facts, that's true. But John is not... He's not John anymore. That peak John, that dude's
right.
gone. You know what I mean? Like, that guy was the fastest guy with the ball I've ever seen in the NBA. And he's not that guy anymore. He's still really fast with the ball, but he ain't what he was back in the day now.
No, and in a way, I look at John coming up the bench to provide him a spark in some ways similar to what the Lakers are doing with Russell Westbrook.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Russell is not that Russell we saw when he was in Oklahoma City, for sure. but he's still pretty damn good.
Yep.
He still can get to the basket, still can attack, and still run an offense the way he does. You know, so those are the two guys that I kind of look at and go, okay, now they're both basically six men. Now, how do you do with that? I mean, in the case of John, I just recall the Clippers saying that they liked the idea of him coming off the bench, so it changed what they did offensively. They ran more.
They got some easy buckets, right? Instead easy of buckets. Wrestling all the time like they do,
all
right?
the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was something they hadn't been really good at over the years. They were last in pace and fast break points the last couple of years. Not anymore. Not with John Wall being there. And D, I tell you what, if he was any faster than what he's been here, god damn.
Yeah, but that's how good he was. That's what I'm saying, man. Before he got hurt, when he had his wheels, oh my lord, oh my lord, yeah. But he's still fast. Don't get me wrong. He's still fast.
Right.
You know, but yeah, no, they definitely need that spark, right? Like you said, somebody to push the pace a little bit and get them some easy stuff. They're not wrestling for 22 seconds every time, right?
Right. Exactly. And one thing he has been good with, him being John Wall. The pick and roll with Zubac. He and Zubac sort of set up a little thing where they're starting to learn each other, understand each other, and Zu loves playing with John because now he gets the ball a little bit more often.
Yeah, no, that's that Gortat
thing. See, that's why
John was so good. John's the best pick and roll guy I've ever seen with a big. Like, he'd get Gortat, like, layup after layup after layup. And Gortat was great rolling. Don't get me wrong. He was great rolling. But that John is just, he's got a gift for that. It's unbelievable.
All right, BT, they said it couldn't be done. They said he wouldn't do it. They said it was a problem and a disaster. They said he was washed. Explain to the people how in the world Russell Westbrook has really pulled off this reserve thing and really owned it in a way that the people, like David Aldridge, said he couldn't do. No, he didn't. I can put that on DA.
Come on, stop. Don't be putting no bullshit like
I know,
that
right? Because people are going to take that and run with it, huh?
Exactly. Aldridge says Russell Westbrook is washed. Come on, man.
Who in the world thought this was going to work? And it's working as best as it could.
Man, Marcus, we all had the same thoughts. We wondered if it could work. And I'll tell you this, DA, when the Lakers first signed Darvinham, I call all my guys up there knew him. I mean, I call Mike Woodson in Indiana. He got off the golf course to talk to a brother. Like, really kind of good. I call Chauncey.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to Ty Lue, and everyone that I talked to said, you're going to love Darvin. He's real.
Yeah.
During the summer, Darvin and our boy talked a lot. Yeah. Like, Russell, man, this is what I think is best for you and best for the team. They had to have these honest conversations. And Russell's got pride.
Sure,
right.
Of course he does. He's going into the Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer. Right.
Yes. And last year, he had the finger pointed at him for everything that went wrong with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Now, was it all his fault? No. But did he share? Should he have shared some of that? Yes. Mm-hmm. The idea that Russell decided that I'm going to do what's best for the team, something he always says, he wants to, his word is, I want to uplift my teammates. And he's proven that to be the case. I mean, Juan Toscano-Anderson loves Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. He thinks the world of him. Darvinham loves Russell Westbrook. They think the world of him. Now, he's okay with us in the media. He's just okay, which is fine. I mean, I ain't got to be with the guy every single day. Mm-hmm. But the idea that he pushes a pace, he's looking for teammates, that he's embraced what's happening with him, but more so, the fans here have embraced Russell Westbrook. He was getting booed last season. And D.A., the only guy I ever heard booed in my years of covering the Lakers was Kwame Brown.
Wow.
They booed Kwame. Damn. And we felt bad for Kwame. Like, oh, man.
Wait. They booed him and they didn't boo your boy. What was the boy that Kobe hated? The guard. Come on. You know who it was, BT.
He hated. He was from New York. See?
Yeah. Come on. I'm drawing a blank. Smush Parker. Right. They didn't boo Smush?
No, they didn't. They cold booty. I mean, that was it.
Smush get the ball.
I don't think that tape? I don't recall that. I just recall Kwame being booed and you felt bad for Kwame.
Yes, yes.
He was this nice young man.
Not his fault.
Who had went through hell playing for one Michael Jeffrey charge.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And then they kind of to play with Kobe Bean Bryant.
Yeah, right.
That's tough for a young fella.
That's a 1-2 for your ass, isn't it?
A historic 1-2. Like, no.
You know what I mean?
But to go back to Russell, man, last year the fans booed him.
Yeah.
A lot. But this year, no. They love this young man. They love this dude, man. He's embraced it. He's cheering the fans on. He's like, you know, give me love. Give us love. We're playing hard for you guys. Fans now really love him. He comes into the game. He gets an ovation, standing ovation from the fans. And what he will do is he will go and play his ass off. And he's playing good defense, really good defense. Now, he'll tell you, us in the media, that have always been a good defender. That's right.
Nah, that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. Yeah. I just like saying it gets cold in Qatar during the summertime. Nah, bro.
They equate can do with a do do.
Right.
No, it's not, right. Not to say, yeah, you can play D. You always could play defense. Right. You just always didn't.
And then I had some of the old heads that would call me and say, man, Russ needs to get back on defense. Russ is not doing this. That was one game I recall where Russ didn't play in the fourth quarter. Because team was playing well, and he wasn't doing everything that Darvin wanted him to do.
Yeah.
A few games later, the Lakers were playing, I forget the team, but there was a sequence where they were going up and down the court. No one could score. And then all of a sudden, the opposing team got a rebound, and they were going on a fast break. Russell sprinted back on defense. And I knew he was tired because AD was tired. And he was feeling it, but he sprinted back on defense. And I thought to myself, Darvin has now gotten to him. Darvin now has him playing the way Darvin wants him to play and the way he knows Russell can play.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was a key moment in Russell's evolution and his ability to change his way of playing and change his thought process. And also that Darvin has now let him know, you do all these things, you may not start, but you will finish games.
Right.
You could be on the court more often than not playing with LeBron and with AD.
Yeah, that he's been finished. That's been the unique part, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's extending his career. Like, absolutely. We were talking about him being done after this last year.
Yes.
But the way he's attacked this and the way, like, how productive he is, and I do think, like, coming off the bench gives him legs down the stretch. Like, that dude, like, hustles at the end of games. Like, he is, like, he looked like old Russ at the end of games. I mean, it's impressive that Darvin's been able to do this, but, man, you got to shout out Russ for, like, really going on it. Like, it's unbelievable. And sometimes he'll be out there with, like, Thomas Bryant and, you know, like, it's like all these extras. And he's like, yo, I'm back in OKC right now. Let's go. Right. Like, he's really bought into it. It's super impressive when you think about where he was.
And then if you're Thomas Bryant or you're Juan Toscano Anderson or you're Austin Reeves, you know, if he has the ball and I run, I'm going to get an easy look.
Right.
He is going to find me some way, somehow. He's going to look for me, and he wants me to also succeed.
Yeah.
So that helps. As well. Again, a Hall of Famer is telling someone like Austin Reeves, Thomas Bryant, I'll give you the ball. You just do your thing.
Yeah.
I will give you the rock.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
So you mentioned D. Ham, and obviously everybody knows D. Ham, and I knew he was going to be a great head coach. But there's being a great head coach, and there's being a great head coach for the Lakers. It's just a different animal completely. It's a whole different thing. So what has impressed you about D. Ham coaching this team?
I want to say how positive he's remained, D.A. They started 2-10.
Right.
And I'm thinking that this is just going to be a difficult, tough season. We're going to the slaughterhouse here.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept saying, it's going to be okay. We're going to make this work. We're going to find a way to make this work. And he just stayed positive, man. I couldn't see that. I didn't understand that. But again, I go back to Chauncey Billups, Mike Woodson, guys like that that knew him, that talked about this presence that he has. He can be an intimidating person because he's this big, gruff man. He's 6'7", but he's a lovable guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone that you want to listen to.
Yes, yes.
And the idea that the guys on the team, from LeBron to AD, have respect for him.
Yes.
He's won a title as a player in Detroit that beat, by the way, the Lakers.
Right.
He won a title as an assistant coach in Milwaukee. He's played with the Hall of Famers. He's worked hard. He's paid his dues. And his first job in the NBA was with the Lakers. So he had a chance to spend time around Kobe Bryant, around the Lake organization. He knows how they do things, how they've run things, how they've had so much success. But being positive, man, I mean, I just think that just goes a long, long way. And it's resonated with that team and with the fan and with us in the media. I mean, I enjoy talking to him about anything. I mean, just about a nice cigar.
Right.
Or in some cases, D.A., a nice glass of red wine.
See, we can't do that. Like, that's a BT special, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know what I'm saying? You can talk to him about the finer things in life. The rest of us, we haven't experimented in a way that we can talk about it.
We ain't urbane like BT is,
you know, world. You know, we're cultured, huh, D.A.?
Go ahead with that.
Oh, no. All right, now obviously they were playing good, and then AD's out again, and I'm not going to clown on AD. I mean, guys, if he's hurt, he's hurt. I'm not going to clown on dude. But how did that kind of mess up what they were planning, I think, to do in terms of the trade market, in terms of being buyers, and really maybe adding that piece that could really complement LeBron and AD and Russ? That shooting piece and what they may have to go do now?
Man, that's an important question, D.A., trying to figure out what they should do. The one thing I've been told that they don't want to panic and make a move just to make one. They want to make the right move, of course.
Right.
But interesting enough, after the game on Sunday, my coworker Dylan Hernandez asked that very question. Does this mean now you should be more in the urgency to make a deal, or do you stand pat? And LeBron's answer was, well, I just play here. You know, I just want to be prepared.
Maybe he learned his right lesson. Way. Maybe. Well,
hold on, Marcus. Yeah, he said all those things about, you know, I want to play right for the team, do all these things, help us win games with the bodies we have and all the guys here. I'm a part of this. He gets done with the interview. He's walking out of the press room, turns around and says, that's a question for Rob Pelinka. Oh, boy. There you go. Yeah. He wanted to make sure he got that point across.
Yes, sir.
Look, and we all laugh. Like, okay,
lesson learned. Yeah,
here we go.
Here's LeBron James. You heard it, Rob. It's your job. Get to work, my brother.
Is he going to start talking about how great the Rams GM is again?
Maybe not, because they get their butt whipped by
now. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, Rob Pelinka, like, were they not prepared for AD to go down? I mean, the dude ain't played 50 games since the bubble. Like, this feels like if anybody should be ready for AD to miss a month, it should be the Lakers. Right. Like, were they not prepared for this?
You know, I would say, how do you prepare for that? In many ways, I mean, is there a backup center out there that can do what he does? No.
You saying there's not another Anthony Davis out there? You saying there's no?
There's only one AD.
Stunning.
You know, that's the way it is. The only way they can prepare for that, well, prepare for it. When they traded for Russell, the thought was, if one of the two stars goes down, Russell becomes that third star, which he essentially is, but they were looking for the OKC Russell.
Yeah.
And he is obviously no longer that.
Right.
And teams are putting centers on Russ.
Yes.
To defend him.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So that, in a way, is a sign of a little disrespect. Why some 7-foot dude that can't move sideways guarding this electric point guard? But teams are willing to take that chance with him. Yeah. So in that regard, Marcus, I think that having Russ be their third Hall of Famer, All-Star, the idea is that if AD can't play, we have Russ and LeBron out here, we're still good. Or LeBron can't play and we got AD and Russell, we'll still be good. That has not been the case.
It also feels like they do have the pieces to maybe go like super small, just try to run and gun, right? Throw Dennis out there, throw Pat. But, man, these dudes aren't young, though.
Right.
No. Right. No. You know, and they're a small team. Dennis is 6'1".
You saw Bradley Beal dunk, gave him the too small, gave him the dunk on your head the other night. Bradley Beal 6'3", man.
So did Kyle Kuzma gave a little too little to post.
Did he give one shot?
Like, stop it. And speaking of Kyle Kuzma, our guy.
Yeah.
From L.A., we were sitting in our courtside seats, Marcus, and we see this group of, let's say, 10 people walking, trying to find their seats, stop right in front of the media. And I'm like, wow, those are some stunning-looking, beautiful people. But it turns out one of them was Kyle Kuzma's girlfriend.
There you go.
And her modeling crew.
Team Kuzma.
They could not find their seats.
Of course it was Kuz, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting.
Well, I'll tell you this. The one thing I did not do, I did not say, down in front. You know why, D.A.? Because I was enjoying the view.
Yes.
We're not going down there. You know what's interesting? How does Austin Reeves becoming like a fan favorite? What's that like? I mean, he's better than Mark Madsen, but it reminds me.
Right.
This dude's a rock star at crypto.
And they're chanting MVP.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, and post-game, he's saying stuff like, yeah, I heard that. And then Arkansas Twain, I just kept thinking, don't miss the second free throw.
I expect next year he's going to have like a Cuban link and a face tat. Like,
you know,
he's going to be sitting courtside with like some actress. Crypto.com about to turn out Austin Reeves.
Oh, man.
Boston going to have them good seats behind the dugout at the Dodgers game.
It's
going
to be another model crew walk in, GA, and it's going to be BT going to be like, who is that? And he's going to be like, oh, no, Austin Reeves, girl.
Right. I was like, oh, I just go like, oh, okay.
Right. Oh, man. By the way, there ain't no way in hell a Wizard going to make that trade for Bradley Beal. Come on now.
Man.
Stop, please.
The thought that someone would actually say it and then write it, I was like, please, just stop it.
For just, two draft picks clicks in 3028 or whenever the hell they are, ain't nobody trying to make that trade.
Besides, Bradley had his chance.
He did.
Before they got Russ.
Exactly.
Had he requested a trade, perhaps he would be here now.
Exactly.
But that's not. You guys know him more. You know him better than we do, ADA. My understanding is, that's not who Bradley Beal is.
Not who Bradley is. And you know what? And I say this, and I tell people this all the time. I don't understand this. He got a quarter bill. What do y'all not understand about a quarter bill?
Yes.
And that money will go
bill is a quarter bill, baby.
And I'm not mad at him for it at all.
No.
Take the quarter bill.
Man, as they say nowadays, as the young guys say, he got the bag.
He got the bag. I am not mad at dude for taking the bag.
No,
absolutely. Take the bag, young man, and don't look back twice, man.
But you know, this is all born.
What's that?
This is all born of, like, everybody expects the Lakers to just go get stars.
Just go get somebody.
Is that the play now?
Because they always have.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Always done that.
Is that the play now? Do they just need a couple role players?
That Indy trade still look good to me, man. Shoot, go ahead. I'll do that training. If it's there, go do that. I don't understand why they are what mystical powers they think a 2029 first round pick is for them. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, you know.
It is true, but I don't know if I would do it for both picks.
You would not.
Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. I would not. Not for.
You wouldn't do it for both? I would in a second. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Not for me. I just don't see enough out of them. I mean, both picks for, let's say, Kyrie.
Yeah.
For DeMar DeRozan or Bradley Beal, even.
Now, DeMar DeRozan makes a lot more sense for me for the way they play and the way he plays, you know,
right.
Because he can get his own. He gets 8 free throws a game in his sleep. You know what I mean? So they can set up their defense. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but he's credible, right? You know what I mean? And so to me,
right.
And he's, you know, he's an L.A. dude. He always wanted to come back home. So that would make a lot of sense to me. DeMar would make a lot of sense.
You know, and he said in the past, in some interviews over the last couple of months, he thought he actually would be playing for the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it didn't happen. I mean, he was among the group of guys that was on their list last year. And it turned out, I mean, he could have signed as a free agent. The money would have been difficult to to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you know, I once wrote that he was willing to take less money to play for the Lakers, and I got a phone call for one Aaron Goodwin.
Oakland's own Aaron Goodwin, town biz Aaron Goodwin.
And Marcus, you can only imagine. He goes, Brad, who wrote that? I said, well, no. He goes, did you write that? Yeah, I did. He goes, let me tell you something. That shit ain't true. Okay.
I stand corrected.
I stand corrected. Aaron, don't worry. My bad.
Oh, we've all gotten that. We've all gotten that.
Hey, Aaron Goodwin don't do less money.
No.
Sir. No.
No.
And after that, Morgan,
we have all seen that 206 prefix.
I'm alone conversation on why what happened. I'm like, Aaron, don't you have something to do?
Right.
Yeah, make sure you That's understand. Bad, ain't no less money.
Right.
No.
Ain't no hometown discounts here.
Man, you start to explain the FICO score to me. everything. All the tax ramifications.
You know what I'm
right.
Oh, shit.
BT, do you worry at all about LeBron's legs? Late in this season, they're gonna have to fight to get to a spot. Like, you know, he's playing hard sometimes, but he takes some times off too. He know how
he
to
didn't
chill.
Play last night, No, he didn't play last night against the Suns. And that was a back-to-back game. So there's an off day today. They play at Sacramento. So he'll play up there tomorrow night, which would be, look at Wednesday. I'm going to say no. But at some point, man, Father Time has got to get him completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's not the same high flower he once was. But he will come down and dunk on you.
Yeah, yeah, he looked pretty high on that open lane the Wizards gave him for game point.
Yes, he did.
Nah, defense playing.
He had this moment where he's out there playing on both sides, offense, defense, trying to defend. You know, but, I mean, he's, what, DA, what's he, 38?
38,
he
has a birthday 39, coming up. 38, 39, right. Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
And it's coming up this month.
Yes, so, that's so right. That's right.
For them, they're what, the 12th seed behind your Golden State Warriors?
Right there with them.
Hey, so they have work to do.
Hey, let me ask you this while we're talking about LeBron. What do you think is more important to LeBron? Do you think having a realistic chance to contend for more chips or playing with Bronny?
Ooh.
Because you could probably do one or the other, but you probably can't do
both.
That's tough.
That's tough, but man. You know, you love your son.
Yep, I get it.
You love your kid, man. I'm going to say, I'm going to say winning one more championship.
Yeah.
Because that would give him, what, five?
Five. Yeah.
So that ties him
with Timmy and – oh, no, it ties him with Kobe.
With Kobe.
Kobe.
No, wait.
He's the one behind.
Wait, yes, Kobe had five, right? Kobe got five, right?
Right, Kobe had five. So retired.
Tim Duncan had five. Yeah.
Magic, right.
Magic had five, yes.
One behind
MJ and Kareem. Yeah.
The god, MJ.
Yeah. yeah.
And also one up on Steph. He'd be
right.
And Draymond.
Draymond. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But more Steph.
Yeah. No question about that. I would say that, and amongst Laker fans, and I say this all the time, that LeBron James will go down as probably one of the top two best players in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't be top five best players.
Oh, I hear you. I completely
agree. That is crazy to say.
No, it's not. It's not, though.
You know,
no, it kind of is, but we understand it. But it is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but not really. If you the history of that franchise, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, that would be like you, Kevin Garnett. Great player. Is he one of the top five Celtics of all time? No.
No, he's not.
You know, he just isn't, you know, because of what the other people there did, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Shit, we could do this all night, you know. Shit. Man, BT, I'm a son of that, man.
But I'm a big Brian fan, though, man. The dude has been good to me.
Yeah.
Love talking to him. He's done some great things in the community.
Yeah.
He speaks up about tough issues.
He sure does.
And he can ball.
Still can go. He can ball.
And on top of that, of course, for me, he and I do have some wine conversations.
You should just do a book about ballers and wine,
right?
Man. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. There you go.
See, I'm giving you ideas, man.
Yeah, you know, CJ McCollum got a vineyard. You know,
Everybody got a vineyard.
Everybody got a
vineyard. LeBron been in it for a minute. I love
Greg
that quote.
Popovich can write the forward.
Right. Man. I love that quote he gave. So I don't know who it was, BT, last week, where he said, me and Tom, he didn't even have to say the last name, we about those chips.
Come on, man. He can just throw Tom's name out there. And you know who it is?
It's Tom.
He could have said last name. He's like, yeah, LeBron, go ahead and name drop. All right, go ahead. Okay. The goal.
Right. That was beautiful, man. That was beautiful. Man, BT, thank you, brother. It's just always good chopping it up with you.
Man, with you guys is always my pleasure. And my man, Marcus.
Hey, matter of fact, LeBron is going to break Kareem's record in the Bay. So I'm gonna need to know what one.
Damn!
I'm calling it. I'm calling.
When is it? When is that, Marcus? I gotta be out of
February 23rd.
February 23rd.
Is he on track for that then? No,
a little bit. 30 games.
No, it was February. I know it was February because I looked before the season. Before the season, I had kind of, you know, it was a guesstimate. If I based on his career average, I think his career average is like 28, 29, and I'm pulled that back to like 25 a game, and it worked out sometime in February. So that's right. That sounds right.
He's got 732 left, and he's averaging 27. So that's 27 games. But I figure he'd take a couple off, put you at 30 games from now. That's game number 60 against the Warriors. I got your wine when you get here, though. It's going to be.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Marcus, I'll be there.
for that bottle of wine. Now, listen. Do I take the box off before I give it to you or after? Do I hand you with the box on? I'm standing in my budget, DA.
You got to stay in your financial lane, Marcus.
Should I take the box off to make them think?
Hold up, man. I have several places that you can visit in Napa that you can bring a nice bottle back.
You know what? That's a good idea, Marcus. We should bring Bron a bottle of wine for when he breaks the record. Good bottle. Maybe I ask Popovich for a good bottle.
Yeah, I got some Boone's Farm for him.
You know what I'm saying? I can get some 800 up here in a minute now.
Some Wild Irish Boone.
Right.
You know about that? What you know about that Cisco? Get Bron a bottle of Cisco. What do you got? Hey, this is from Oakland right here, Bron.
Right. This is from the heart. This is from the heart. Oh, man. BT, man, stay safe out in the streets.
Appreciate you,
man.
My brother.
In the mean
stay
streets
safe
of
and
LA.
Stay warm.
Yeah, we got to stay warm out here, man. It's rough. It's freezing. 55
right,
out here.
Leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast, Marcus. If them folks can't leave 5 stars for us, what do they need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters. We're going to drown you in Cisco.
And some boons.
Mad Dog 2020. This that stuff BT used to drink before he
was before he got refined.
Yeah. You know, you got one in Paris, man. That's what you're thinking. No Cisco. My friend, like, Brad, what are you talking about? We must have a nice bottle of red. Yes, we should.
Oh, all right, we're out.